I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Come join us on this trip. No, more like journey. We're throwing out the script. We don't charge a penny.
Oh man, what a day.
What a day, Smashing. What a week.
I was fully expecting to dive into this on like positive notes, mm-hmm. trying to keep it a positive mindset, but man, this week was just like, no.
Like, I knew where we were going to start this week's episode, and I was actually worried. I was like, yo, we're going to have to spend like a lot of time on like our main thing, because there's not that much to talk about really. But I'm pretty sure in like the 8 hours of like you waking up and me living my afternoon, we found three things to speak about, as in one of them that has literally happened on this day of June 30th. Just to be yep. clear, three of the things we want to talk about. Some of them happened last night. And I'm pretty sure two of them happened today. Where do we want to start?
Let's get the political stuff out of the way. Let's just get that done.
We have to do it. We have to let the Mandem know that your country is continuing to fuck up.
It has been on such a slippery slope of backwardness, I guess. Everything, man. Okay, so right up, before we get into the big one, I want to talk about the student loan thing being essentially shut down by the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
As a person who is still very much in debt because of student loans, I'm very, very upset by this. Like, I'm not saying it would have erased complete all of my student loan. And, like, I get that. But to even have a portion of it, like, the amount of stress that I've been under before. Like, right now, I've been in a position where I'm essentially working with an income-based repayment plan.
Yeah.
So I basically don't have to pay anything until I make a steady income.
That's what we do in this country, pretty much. You don't pay anything back. I think it was just raised to $25,000 a year, because even in our country, student loans are increasing, and they've actually increased the amount of time you have to pay them back. It was when you get to 30, it's gone. Now it's 40. Like, no, not 30, 30 years. 30 years after collecting it. Now they've increased it to 40 years. So basically, with the student loan increase, the time to pay back increase, you're basically paying back your student loans, like, your entire life. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And I know, like, we're just getting closer and closer to, like, the problem most ex-students have in America. Like, it's scary. I would not want to be a student in the UK right now because of it. It is ridiculous.
It boggles my mind that of all the things that have been targeted so fucking heavily, this is, and I understand, like, there are people who have paid off their student loans and see this and be like, that's not fair. It's like, it's not about fair, man. Yeah, you paid your thing off and you're good. This is for the future, so no one else has to go through what you fucking went through.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
And for you to be like, oh no, they should suffer just like me. No, dude, that's not how this is supposed to go.
Yeah.
You know, whether
because our suffering is 10 times what you are or were.
Exactly. Exactly. Inflation has fucked everything. What you paid in student loans is not what we're paying in student loans.
You know how bad inflation is now? Fortnite is raising the price of V-Bucks because of inflation. They are raising the price of an imaginary currency because of inflation. How? What?
You know what's fucking so crazy, dude? Like, my brother has been kind of on this thing of watching, like, commercials from the 80s and the 90s.
Mm.
And what always trips me the fuck out
is how white they are.
There's one specific... No, it's like the fast food commercials where you're like, oh, you get this burger and fries and like a drink, and it's like for $3.99, motherfucker, what?
We have Weatherspoons over here. Now you know, I can just call it spoons now because you know what they are. They had, like, their range of starters was huge: flatbreads, mini pizzas, chicken tenders, chicken wings, fries, loaded fries, all this shit. It was so big. They did a 3 for $10. Inflation's made this motherfucker 3 for $12.50. How about fucking no?
And then you fucking Supreme Court just tells Biden that he doesn't have the power to do this.
Wasn't that his? I'm pretty sure he got the 18-year-old vote, like the young vote, because of that was his basic, like, that was half of his campaign. I'm going to abolish student loans. And secretly, like, what has now been renamed by me, SCROTUS, was forever laughing in his face.
Yep.
So for our international fans, you know POTUS, President of the United States. Well, he's actually not the all-powerful being in America. You must be listening to Edward. What? Huh? President? Yeah, no. There's even one in England, I realized. You have in America, Supreme Court of the United States of America. I am petitioning to rename SCOTUS SCROTUS. Because it's funny. And because everyone's sitting on this big ass fucking mahogany varnished table that I literally just, like, it's a glorified dinner table. It is, like, it's fucking wank. And it's free names. I know one of them's Kagan. But it's like it will be the same. Like, it was a 63 vote. Everything that matters in the America right now, if Joe Biden gets in again, if the Democrats stay in, you will keep seeing this 6-3 vote, 100%. It will be the same three motherfuckers every goddamn time. I know one of them's called Kagan because I looked at the name and I was like, what a silly fucking name for a silly fucking scrotum. And the other thing that happened alongside student loan?
So as big as student loan was, I feel like the biggest thing was essentially the death, one would say, of affirmative action. So for those that don't know, affirmative action was kind of put into place to end, segregation and prejudice when it came to students applying to go to school, because race needed to be essentially considered for this stuff. So you couldn't just be like, oh no, it's this grades, this and that. And then like, oh, but it seems to only be allowing, you know, white kids to get in there.
For our filmmaker friends, kind of for our filmmaker friends out there, that scene in Forrest Gump.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know, man. Like I don't know that I was necessarily affected by it. I could have been without knowing, but I know that there are plenty of people, specifically black students, who are going to be absolutely gutted by this.
Mm-hmm. Because that, believe it or not, there are more racist states in America than there are, I don't know, normal accepting states.
And it's like, it's, I feel like that's what's been known. Everyone knows that. Like, there are certain, there's the South is still the South, and there's a bunch of states in the middle that, you know, where racism runs rampant. But it feels like more and more it's becoming okay to be openly racist.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's, I don't know how to describe it, but like, from the outside looking in, you know, it feels like some big steps towards regression, especially combined with last year, the Roe v. Wade situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the new college frat boy that Fox have got to replace Tucker Carlson, who is, mm-hmm. like, he is legit, like, he has come out to say he lied about certain articles he has written over time, and has patted himself on the back for being found. I was like, how about, you know, doing like real journalism rather than lying and expecting to be caught? What the fuck? You've lied. It's like, oh, I was waiting for you to find that. What the fuck? Don't put it out anyway, knob cheese. Like, come on. This guy's like, you look at him, he looks 12 years old. And you think Fox had an actual opportunity here to, I don't know, convince the world that they're not cunts?
I think that ship has sailed, bro, honestly.
Like, the fact of this, like, you know, people still watch and listen to this brainless, like, unsympathetic bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It's no wonder Alan Arkin chose to leave when he did. And this brings us to our final thing.
Yep.
Godspeed to the legend that was Alan Arkin.
I was so taken aback when I saw that.
You were refreshing to see him retweet and be like, actually, I'm okay. Like, the amount of times it's happened,
dude,
it just never happened. It didn't happen.
I woke up. I responded to your message.
Yeah.
I hopped on Instagram, and that was the first thing on my Instagram.
Damn.
I was like, no. Dude. And I just think about everything that I've seen this guy and everything that I've seen him do.
Argo, Gattaca, Little Miss Sunshine.
He gets smart. He was amazing in that. Yep. He has, honest to God, my favorite fucking cameo in the Muppets movie. He's just like the tour guide from like the Muppets studio. And he has a small little group of people, like the main characters and like this like Japanese couple. They look lost and they're confused. And they ask him if the Muppet Studios, Universal Studios. He's like, yes, it is. Come with me. He just doesn't want to lose customers. He tells him it's Universal Studios.
Oh, man. Catch 22 as well. Classic.
Mm-hmm. Glengarry Glen Ross.
Oh, dude. What a movie. What an actor, to be honest. Like, someone who upheld, like, being, like, being a great person at the same time as being a great actor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say people like Tom Hanks, but there's all this, like, news about Tom Hanks that isn't very nice or good. Like, Keanu Reeves, there mm-hmm. we go. Like Keanu, like, yeah. You know, there are, in terms of being that big of a celebrity, that there are very few and far between of people who are actually decent human beings. Alan Arkin was one of them. 88, I think he was.
89.
I want to say good innings, but like that. This motherfucker never looked old.
No. Man aged like a fine fucking wine.
I love fine wine.
I do too. It's really good.
But it's like what I said to you. You know, 2023 is not done.
No.
It just had to remind us that it was still here and still being bullshit.
Absolutely.
And we now come to the last thing, which was the only thing we were going to talk about before today's subject, which is good because
the thing that I was excited about.
We were going to go from DC to DC, kind of DC to Warner Bros. Same shit. It was gonna gel. It was gonna be great. But now it's all sad, and we have to pick up the energy. Sebastian, it's happened. We were talking about it last week. Or 2 weeks ago, I can't remember. What we are fortune tellers, my guy.
Mm-hmm. So if you haven't heard, they have announced our new Superman and our new Lois Lane, who will be starring in James Gunn's Superman Legacy. And I don't want to say that I'm good at casting because I don't want to sound braggy, but I'm really fucking good at casting. Let's get into Lois Lane, because she was my premonition, essentially. So Lois Lane is going to be portrayed by Rachel Brosnahan. If you don't know the name, I advise you to look up The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon.
I second Sebastian's comment.
She's so fucking good. She is so funny. She's so sharp in her performance that the more I watched The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, I was like, man, she'd be so good in a superhero movie, and I don't know what. And then they released the short list of actors and actresses for Superman and Lois Lane, and I saw her name on the Lois Lane list, and I was like, sir, it's gotta be her.
You were the only one against the thousands that were like I would say Superman was pretty much a tie-in. Like, as soon as I heard the name, saw the face, I was like, it's that motherfucker. Everyone thought Emma McKay was gonna be Lois Lane, the star from Sex Education.
Yep.
But it's like the James Gunn flippity flip that he likes to pull on us. Like, you know, pull back the curtain. Ha ha, motherfuckers! And Rachel Brosnahan, I was like, actually, better choice. Because, like, as much as I like Sex Education, is Emma McKay one of the good things about it? No. Has she been anything but a... Is that Margot Robbie lookalike in any of the other movies she's been in? No.
She's going to be in fucking Barbie with Margot Robbie.
That is just Greta Gerwig playing to the fucking meta.
Yep. But yeah, no, Rachel Brosnahan, I have no doubt she's going to kill it. And like you think of the character of Lois Lane, she's no nonsense. She's quick and she's sharp in the way she does her, you know, the way she's chasing a story. And yeah, she needs to be saved by Superman, but the amount of times that she has saved Superman in more situations, it's like, I no doubt Rachel Brosnahan can fucking handle that. And then our Superman is David Cornsweet. Corn Sweat. Okay.
Yeah, not Corn Sweat.
Got it in the end. That's And so it took me a minute because I didn't know the name. I saw his face. Do look familiar. If you've seen the show Hollywood on Netflix, then you are familiar with this guy. I think he's pretty good. And he definitely has
the look.
Classic. Exactly. Classic Superman face.
I'm pretty sure his first, like, when you type his name into Google, I know now you probably get different photos, but like 2 weeks ago when you typed his name into Google, the first photo was him with like a black hair quiff. And I was like, this? Hugh Motherfucker? Like, he's trying to look like Superman. But he's even got like an interview from like, I think 4 or 5 years ago, when Hollywood first started, I think it was, he actually said his pie in the sky ambition is to be Superman. I was like, bro, yeah. So someone was listening, and that someone was Jimmy Gunn, my guy.
There you go. So Brosnan had beat out Emma Mackey and Phoebe Denver.
Yes.
For the role.
Yes.
And Corin Sweat beat out Nicholas Holt and Tom Brittany.
I'm glad it wasn't Nicholas Holt.
I saw this. The amount of fucking memes that have come out about that, it's like he lost Batman to Pattinson. Even though he's losing Superman to Corin Sweat.
The man keeps losing. The only time Nicholas Holt could be Superman is if he was in a like a one-to-one Flashpoint remake. Where like it's the skeleton version of like that's when Nicholas Holt could play Superman.
Well, from what I was reading, there are a lot of people pushing and hoping that he gets cast as Lex Luthor.
I could see him more as Lex Luthor because even James Gunn says that he prefers Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor over any other Lex Luthor adaptation. But it's also said that he doesn't really like that's him picking like the best of like a shit bunch. He doesn't like any Lex Luthor adaptation. The difference that Gene Hackman has over the others. Gene Hackman played Lex Luthor for the most part with hair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that's where Jimmy Gunn's gonna take his Lex Luthor, and like I don't want to see Nicholas Holt bald. That scares me. I would forever pause it and do the SpongeBob reference of bald my eyes. Seeing as Superman blasts his laser beam off his big ass dome, like. No one wants to see that. But, like, you know, Nicholas Holt was good. Was he good in Renfield? Renfield was an interesting movie. It was okay. It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad. It was.
Like, I remember Nicolas Cage in that movie because Nicolas Cage rocked.
Like, it's definitely one of those movies where you're watching it, you're like, this is fun. This is a fun movie. I just don't see him in like the super heroic role. I mean, obviously he was really good as Beast. I thought he was really good as Beast.
Yes. He did a fantastic job.
So he can do it. But it's I don't think front and center.
He doesn't mind being
as the Man
like
of Steel.
He doesn't mind doing like effects heavy, stunt heavy roles. We know he can do those, and you know Lex Luthor will definitely be that will be required. Effects and stunts.
Yeah. For sure.
Because I like this idea that it's a younger Superman fighting the beginnings of the Authority that we have never seen in a live action Superman adaptation before, which I think is going to be pretty cool.
Apparently, the idea of the movie is going to be very workplace heavy. So I imagine like a lot of stuff at the Daily Planet. So that'll be interesting to see. Mm. And then. Obviously, you know, you've got Superman casted, you've got Lois Lane casted. That shifted focus to people. It's like, okay, who's Batman?
Who's Batman? He says they are miles, miles away.
Mm-hmm. Like, they already have a director locked, or relatively locked, for the new Batman Brave and the Bold that he's doing. That's Andy Muschietti.
Yes.
And this is purely based off of his work on The Flash.
As long as we don't get, like, I understand his argument with the, like, why the effects just straight up look so bad in The Flash. It's like, oh, it's Flash's, like, perception point of view. Like, you know, it's his Speedverse, so it's the way he views things. I was like, are you just you're just like chatting bullshit, just like you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just take the L. Just take the L, bro.
Just take it, bro.
Like, just say you've got the next job. Yeah.
It's like you got the next big job, bro. You're fine. You're okay.
You're all kinds of good. But I found a segue to where we're going. In terms of dropping bombs. Guess who's about to drop a big one? Next month. Or by the time you're listening to this, this month. Because this is probably not going to be released before June ends. Because June ends tomorrow. Mr. Christopher Nolan!
Woo! Yeah! Give it up for Nolan! Woo! Yeah! All right, so we're going to throw it to the break. And when we come back, we are going to be ranking the very best of Christopher Nolan. We'll be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Sasha, I told you, I got you tickets to go see Barbie, man. I wanted to go see Oppenheim. I'm sorry for sleeping with your sister. So I said we're going to go see Oh, wait, these are Oppenheim tickets. No, Sasha, come back, babe. No. David, man, he can't catch a break.
You know damn well those are going to be some real arguments that are going to be had on July 21st.
Okay, so you wake up 10:30. You go see Oppenheimer IMAX, right? Because you don't want to see Barbie in IMAX. There's no fucking reason to. You go see IMAX Oppenheimer, like that fucking the IMAX reel of that shit. Have you heard how much this shit weighs?
No.
Fucking 11 pounds. It's 600 miles long. The whole Jesus. Reel. It's ridiculous. You see IMAX 11 a.m. Then you get out, you go to all day brunch somewhere, you get some food, you get some cocktails, you get a little bit merry, you get a little bit happy, you talk about how great Oppenheimer was, and then you go see your ass, Barbie, at 3 p.m., a little bit merry, take some drinks into the cinema with you. I know you can in this country, I don't know if you can in AMC or in any theater in America.
Then you come out. There are theaters now that have bars. You can grab a drink there.
Excellent. You get yourself. Oh yeah. You go to the AMC bar. It's the MacGuffin bar. You go to the MacGuffin bar. Mm-hmm. You get yourself the Barbie drink. You get a few of them. There'll be an Oppenheimer drink. It'll probably be a Manhattan because Manhattan Project.
Ah,
nice. Nice. I'm two for two in these builds up, man. Hell yeah. Don't milk it, Ed. Don't do that. You're not that guy. You're not that guy, pal. You're not that guy. And then you come out, Barbie, and you go for some more drinks, and you've had a great day. Boom. That's the play. And if anyone tells you anything different, they're wrong.
You know, fucking
I'm going to go see both. I feel like I have to. I want to.
I want to see both, too, which is so weird. Like, my sister's been, like, really excited to see this movie. She got fucking tickets for it already. And I'm like... It's such a trip. And my mom gets on her, like, why do you want to see this movie so much? You didn't like Barbies growing up. It's like, I didn't like the dolls, but that's because I didn't play with fucking dolls to begin with. It wasn't anything against Barbie specifically. I just hated dolls. And like, so AMC blows my mind, which is hilarious because they sometimes they do like special popcorn tins and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This popcorn tin is essentially the casing of the nuclear bomb.
Oh, awesome.
It's like $20. It's $20. It's a casing of a
can
nuclear
I send
bomb
you 20 filled with popcorn. Can I send you $20 and can you get me one? Like, nah, like, legit, that sounds sick.
Like,
all we get is, like, these cheap plastic cups. Hang on. I'll show you the one I got for Batman. He's looking at me right here. He's fucking... Like, I'll... You know what? We'll start off the Instagram posts again by posting a photo of this when we release the episode. This is the best we can get in this country. A flimsy fucking cup that Cineworld won't even refill for you. It's... Like, you buy this thing, what? It's like, oh, can you put my drink in it? It's like, sorry, we can't do that. Then why do I have it? It doesn't come with the straw. Even though there's a straw hole, exhibit A. And then look at the Batman that comes with it. This man has seen some shit. It's a bobblehead. It barely bobbles, but it's a bobblehead. I've got, like...
It's a bobblehead that barely bobbles.
My motherfucking ass got the... got the Spider-Gwen one, not because of any reason. Ah, cheeks, bro.
I see.
I threw away the cup. They gave me the cup. I took the figurine because I didn't have anywhere to hold it. And like the man behind the counter just looked at me. I went to the bin and I just went, yeet. I was like, this is all I wanted. This is all I got. I got that one. I got fucking... K2SO chilling up there. I've got the BB-8 one as well. They're crap, Jesus. But my dumbass still gets them. Do I make smart financial decisions? No. Speaking of financial decisions, Christopher Nolan has made a lot of fucking money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you make movies the way that this guy makes movies, I imagine money just kind of comes rolling in.
Mister, if you can do it live...
Do it live.
Do it live.
Which I imagine made a lot of people at Warner Brothers nervous. He's like, yo, I want to do Oppenheimer. Do you want to do it?
Have you seen the video of the guy on TikTok who's done, like, so Nolan, I got the coding for the computer generated images. Excuse me? Yeah, because what did you say? For the bombs. No, before that. The computer chip. Come on, man. It's what are you gonna? What are you gonna do? I'm gonna fucking bomb Mexico. You're fired. Oh man.
Like, I understand practical effects. I love practical effects. Like, if you could do it on camera, do it on camera. But also, you're making a movie about the birth of the nuclear bomb. I don't know if you want to go blowing up shit for the sake of a movie.
I'm not too sure about this, like, the stats, but I'm pretty sure, like, was it 3,000 tons of dynamite he exploded to recreate the explosion?
Jesus.
Like, it was something stupid. Like, the permission this motherfucker got. Ridiculous. So, in terms of our insights into influential directors that me and Sebastian have chosen, I know there's probably some fans out there that's like, why don't you choose this director? Why don't you choose that director? Start your own podcast and choose that director, okay? Whilst you are here listening to me and Sebastian, you will listen to what we have to say. Okay, cool. So, now, Christopher Nolan. He has 10 movies. These movies are, in no particular order, this is from what I could remember, in the time I remembered them. Memento, Prestige, Inception, Interstellar, Tenet, Dunkirk, Insomnia, Batman Begins, The Dark Knight Rises. My Dark Knight Rises. 10 motherfucking movies, which is kind of weird, because wasn't that the same number Tarantino had?
About, yeah.
Yeah. Controversially, Tarantino has 10. He seems to think he's bringing out his 10th movie.
So, I was curious about, obviously, how much TNT was done with, you know, this. So, it's an estimated 68.47 tons of TNT.
That's a lot less than what I was thinking. Well, I don't know where I got my number from. Holy crap. But damn, that's still a lot.
That's so much.
That is like, that is blow that up. And it's like Francis, is it Francis Dewey, Malcolm and Reese in the desert in the episode of Malcolm in the Middle? Mm-hmm. Like, when did it say we were going to get our vision back? 2 to 3 days. And like, it actually goes to daylight for a couple of seconds. I fucking love that episode, man. There must have been a rights issue in terms of the house they filmed in for that episode. Because, like, they were in where Francis was for a good time. I can't remember back in the middle. We're talking about Christopher Nolan. But yes, so, who went first last time when we did the Tarantino style? Did I go first?
I think you went first, yeah.
So, yeah, you go first. Start with your number 10 and just go straight to 1. And we're going to do what we did last time, people, which was you're going to hear both our 10s, 10 to 1s, and then Sebastian is going to yell at me, and I'm going to yell at Sebastian.
Yep. Sounds about right.
Cool.
All right. So, at number 10, I've got Tenet.
Huh?
Okay. Number 9, Insomnia.
Hmm.
I got The Dark Knight Rises at number 8.
Mm-hmm.
Interstellar at number 7. I felt that eye roll, dude. I'll explain why it's there.
When you hear me back, when you get this sound file, you will hear like some sort of velociraptor screech. I swear to God. Continue. Number 6. We don't talk about it now. Although, right, I've already booked my ticket to come punch you in the face. But okay, cool. Number 6.
All right, number 6. I got Inception. Five is Dunkirk. 4, Memento.
Mm-hmm.
3, Batman Begins.
Mm-hmm.
2, Prestige.
Mm-hmm.
And 1, The Dark Knight.
Okay. He didn't mean it, diddly diddly diddly. He tried his best, diddly diddly diddly. Oh, diddly diddly ding dong crap. I don't know who you are, but I'm sure you're a jerk. Hey, I just got here. Most Sislak, you ugly, hate-filled man. Hey, I may be ugly and hate-filled. And what was that third thing you said? Right, number 10. My list. Number 10,
mm-hmm.
Dunkirk.
Yep. Okay.
Number 9, Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
Number 8, Tenet. Number 7, Insomnia.
Okay.
6, Batman Begins.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Number 5, Memento.
Okay.
Number 4 is Interstellar. Number 3, Inception. Sebastian, you ready to have your feelings hurt? Number two, The Dark Knight. And number 1, The Prestige.
Okay.
I'm coming out the gate. Why the fuck is Interstellar so low for you, Brev?
Because
You hate science?
I haven't seen it in its entirety.
Science hates you? You've not seen it in entirety? Right, end the episode. You fucking what? At least where did you get up to?
I think I got halfway. I don't remember why I stopped watching the movie. I remember I stopped watching it with the intention of continuing it the next day. I think it was because I was watching it. I think it was like on HBO Max or something. But the next day,
you didn't see Interstellar in IMAX?
No.
I need to know what you were doing in the space of time the year Interstellar came out where you could have seen. I remember, this is one of the first movies I ever saw in IMAX. I'm pretty sure I've still got the poster upstairs.
I mean, It really wasn't until recently that I started watching movies in IMAX, because
one of your first was Top Gun, right? Your brother's first?
That was my brother's first.
Yeah.
Like, I had seen a few things in IMAX. Anything that I'd seen in IMAX, I saw with you.
Oh, man. Okay,
beforehand.
So the reason I've got Interstellar number 4 in my, like, it's not that high in for me, but like, so my top three, I consider 10 out of 10s. And I've actually put here, I've got Inception at 3. I put this one at 3 because honestly, haven't seen it recently compared to the other two. And it's like, it could change. I see Inception tomorrow. I could come back next week and tell you, it's like, yo, I had Inception, Dark Knight, Prestige. It now goes Prestige, Dark Knight, Inception. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure our Wi-Fi just went down. It just blinked at me. Please don't. I need it. But Interstellar's number 4 at 9.9. And it's the reason it's 9.9, 0.1 lower than the other one, is for me, you can't fucking hear the first 30 to 45 minutes. You got Matthew McConaughey speaking like this, and you know when we were seeing baseball back in the day and we had that dust storm rolling. I was like, bro, Matthew, bro, we know you just got your Oscar, G, but fuck.
You know who he sounds like? He sounds like fucking Boomhauer from fucking King of the Hill.
Because he probably fucking is.
And then you know what
this motherfucker does next? Not Matthew McConaughey. You know what fucking Christopher Nolan does next? He decides to actually show the spaceship taking off. Fuck. In your ears for about a good 2 minutes. I'm like, huh? Like, you can turn the volume down and you still fucking get what's happening. But it's like, honestly, it's the sound. Like, I've even put here, the volume is higher than 8 at this moment, you'll go deaf. But what I do love is the intricacies between love and science. But yeah, I think you've got Interstellar way too low. Where was Interstellar for you?
Again,
it was 8?
7.
7. What was your first, what was 10, 8, what was 10, 9, 8?
So for me, 10-9-8 is Tenet,
Insomnia,
and Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises. I think we can bypass Insomnia. Like I've literally got here. Can you ask me anything ask me anything about Insomnia without it being a horror movie about perpetual daylight and Al Pacino being a crooked cop? Not a clue. I just know there's good performances from Al Pacino, Robin Williams, and I think Marissa Tomei makes a cameo in like one of the pub scenes, and she's awesome.
Yeah,
we can bypass Insomnia. Don't really give a shit. But yeah, Tenet definitely deserves to be that low. It just great effects. It looked banging, but we agreed that unless you are fucking a 180 IQ plus genius, you don't get that story without googling it.
It's like. And it's fine, you know, you can write smart stories and smart movies, but I feel like there still needs to be a level of accessibility to a wide audience, especially because it's not a cheap movie.
Yeah.
It was being sold as a blockbuster movie.
Yeah.
You can't dumb down. You can't be so high up your ass when you're trying to get that many people to come watch your fucking movie.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the only movie that movie had to battle in terms of cinema was Bill and Ted 3. Both of those movies did poorly in the UK because we've never had the biggest Bill and Ted fan base. I love Bill and Ted. Yeah. That's my Jimmy Jam.
I love Bill and Ted.
I grew up with that shit. I love Bill and Ted 3. Not like Bill and Ted 3, the first one, then the second one. It's the only ranking of Bill and Ted there ever is and never shall be.
Yeah.
Station! Kid Cudi was the only one to reference that shit in the third one, and I'm pretty sure it was like it was improvised. But it's like, you know, to come out from COVID, I think the first COVID lockdown, I think it was, we went into lockdown again after Tenet came out. Yeah, not the movie, bruv. But then I said to myself, even without lockdown, I don't think this movie was it.
Nah. It goes back to, you know, smart filmmaking, smart stories, you know, very intricately woven tales and that really try to get the audience to think, totally fine. But to get it to such a degree that the audience just doesn't fucking understand it for the sake of that, it's not my jam. It's not the jam, you know. It's not the vibe.
It's like, you know, you've got the essence of love in Inception, his whole Dark Knight trilogy, Interstellar, The Prestige. Like, we're being told that, like, his feet, like, Chris Nolan loves, like, the theme of love over everything. It's literally, he literally tells you in Inception, love is more powerful than hate. But in Tenet, we're being told that, like, the way he shows the love is between, like, the mother and the daughter that's being sort of, like, abused by Kenneth Branagh's character. I just never got that. I think it was the mother and the son. I can't remember. But the son, I think, ends up being Robert Pattinson's character, is what I've heard. Because Robert Pattinson, like, comes from the future. Like, you know, guess who's coming to dinner, I guess. But yeah. What else did you have a bit too low? No, you... So I've got Dunkirk last. You had Dunkirk at 5, right?
I flipped them. So I have Dunkirk at 6.
Yeah, I've got Dunkirk at 6. Yeah. No. I've only seen it once, and I just do not like Harry Styles as an actor. Didn't like him in Dunkirk, and I don't like him in anything he's been in since. Not that piece of fucking shit. Don't you fucking worry, darling.
I it's the only movie that I swear to God, dude, that I have sat in, I very visibly fell asleep.
I mean, hadn't we just come home from London? I'm pretty sure it was the second day.
we grabbed drinks with Mikey.
Yeah.
And then we went to go see it. And, like, people could follow, like, because we grabbed food, we had drinks, and then we went to go see the movie. It was like, oh, maybe you were just too drunk. No, the movie was just shit.
It was shit.
it was just a bad movie. Like, it was, you know, Florence, just quick tangent, like, I thought Florence Pugh was great in it. Her performances are always good.
Yeah.
It was just, she was surrounded by crap.
Yeah. She was horribly directed, I would say. I remember, like, I didn't defend the movie online a couple of weeks ago, but I was like, someone on YouTube was speaking about the movie, having to watch it, and said, "Is like, what was the whole point of the plane?" And I was like, "My G, if Florence Pugh doesn't actually see the plane crash in the beginning, the rest of the movie essentially does not happen." And then I put, "Which I wish is what would have happened." Like.
It's like that backhanded defense.
Yeah, like, look, here's why she saw it. Here's why she shouldn't have. You know that whole out of sight, out of mind? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The movie could have done with a whole lot of that. It was so annoying that when you came over here, like, last September, there was literally nothing in the cinemas. That was really annoying. Because, like, we saw Don't Worry, Darling, and we saw something else. I just can't remember.
Oh, Bodies.
Yeah, that was good. That was okay. I like that. So, do you want to talk about my number two, number one? I think most people have number two, number one the way you've got it.
I feel like from the way it kind of looks, it looks more just personal preference.
Yeah.
And that's like, you've got Batman Begins lower than I have it.
So, let me explain. I've got Batman Begins at 6.
Yeah, I got it at 3.
So, I've got Batman Begins here. It's because I can't remember the last time I saw this movie. I think I saw it during COVID. Mm-hmm. I think I rewatched all of them. And, solid movie. It was a great start to the Batman his Batman trilogy. But it took, like, I watched it and I was like, yo, I do not remember this movie, like, feeling so dated. There's moments where, like, matte paintings are still being used in this movie. And I know it's, like, a stylistic choice. Like, he was paying homage to, like, you know, Tim Burton's and Schumacher's Batman universes, before he kind of made his own sort of like footprint on Batman as a whole, with, you know, the greatest sequel of all time and arguably the greatest comic book movie of all time. But the first one, definitely dated, my guy.
That's fair. I mean, for me, I look at it, it's like, for what it is, it's a Batman origin story. At that point, there have been four or five Batman movies. You don't really get into how Bruce becomes Batman.
Yeah.
And then this movie does that. And I think it nails it. Like, every aspect of it, mm-hmm. the performances are on point, the suit's on point. Ra's al Ghul is a great fucking starting villain for this Batman.
You're a Ra's, not a Ra's.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, Ra's al Ghul. That sounds so stupid. It's like, behold the demon head, Ra's al Ghul. I'm sorry, what?
Racist al Ghul?
Your fucking name is Ra's? No,
you kind of sound like someone of a lisp trying to say we're having a race. We're gonna have a race. What? A race. Me and you, we're gonna have a race. Excuse me, say that again. Come again for Big Fudge.
And then it establishes Cillian Murphy as Scarecrow, and he is in all of them.
He is an awesome Scarecrow.
He is so good. My only gripe with Batman Begins is that I feel like he was underutilized, but for what he was used for, I thought he nailed it. I thought he knocked it out of the fucking park. So for me, that's why Batman Begins is where it is, because it is the start of something so good, and Christopher Nolan understood the character. I would say arguably better than Tim Burton did.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Tim Burton is admitted to not reading any, like, graphic novel, comic book arc. And, like, Kevin Smith said, yeah, that's pretty evident in your movies.
Like, I mean, just, you know, another quick tangent. Like, you look at Batman 89,
mm-hmm.
and that feels like a Batman movie.
Yeah.
Then you look at Batman Returns, that's Batman in a Tim Burton movie. One of these things is not like the other. One of these things doesn't fucking belong.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, I don't think... Yeah, nah, I don't want to get into Tim Burton's Batman. We're talking about Christopher Nolan. Where have you put Memento? I've got Memento at 5.
I got Memento at 4.
You got Memento at 4. I think that is definitely... Like, that is the strongest 5-4... Like, 5-4, mm-hmm. I could probably interchange Interstellar, Memento. Like, I just thought, what am I going to put number 5? What is good on the way to being excellent? Like, it's not, you're not looking back. Like, you're not looking at 5 going back, mm-hmm. you're looking at 5 going forward. Fucking Memento. Like, the fact that this is kind of his first ever movie, like one of his first ever movies. I know some people have seen The Following, some people haven't. Like, I know we didn't include it here. Some people may be like, fuck them. like, have you actually ever seen The Following? You probably haven't. You've just heard about it. Like, I remember Memento being like my favorite number, my favorite movie, like, was 16, 17. Like, I love the performances. Like, it was one of those movies that I watched it the second time and I understood it. And, like, that never actually happened before. Like, you know, I'd seen movies and I was like, I took them at face value. I saw Memento and I was like, I feel like I need to see that again. And then when I finally understood, like, sort of, wait a minute. Oh! And, like, I was like,
you know, the back and forth,
yeah, and like, it was awesome. But then I saw Old Boy and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is... This is how movies work.
I definitely seen Memento at least twice, and it's such an interesting way to do a movie.
Yeah,
that I think that's what stuck out the most to me. Like, not even the movie itself. Like, the movie itself is good. Like, obviously, you know, telling the story in reverse and stuff. it's the fact that he was able to pull it off in a way that made so much sense. But above that, it was gripping enough to make you be like, you know what? I need to watch this again to see if I actually get it.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, I feel like that was ultimately the goal for Memento. It's like, this movie is good and you're going to watch it. But there is stuff in here that once you watch it, you're going to be like, no, I got to see it again because I need to be 100%. And it fucking pulls you in like that.
Yeah, man.
It leaves all these little breadcrumbs that lead you right back to it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's what, but like, so Prestige and The Dark Knight.
I've got to end it talking about these two movies.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm very, because obviously, you know, I have The Dark Knight 1, Prestige 2, you have Dark Knight 2, Prestige 1.
Yeah.
So I'm curious as to what it is about The Prestige that does it for you over The Dark Knight.
I've seen The Prestige most recently. Like I said before, okay. my top three here, Inception, Dark Knight, and The Prestige, could easily change with how soon I've seen these movies. But I saw The Prestige recently, and I was like, had I seen The Dark Knight recently, I would feel like I'd still put Prestige 1 just because of, like, my instant connection to The Prestige. Like, not personally. Like, there's nothing about my life that connects to The Prestige. It's a fucking, at the end of the day, it's a period drama. But it's just the tone, the story, the character, the mystery. Like, I've even written in my notes here, some people quote Pulp Fiction word for word. I quote The Prestige word for word. There's just that scene for me that someone says, what is a quintessential, like, if you had a montage, like, you know, have you seen Babylon, the movie? What, like, the new one, right? We could easily talk, there could easily be one of these episodes that's like, what is your Babylon filmmaking history montage? That would be awesome. What would be 10 moments you put in, like, filmmaking history montage? In that montage, I would put the moment where they're in the Colorado Mountains, they're looking at Colorado Springs, and Circus lifts up. He plugs in the light bulb, and the electricity from Colorado Springs goes to the light bulbs in the mountains. Because of, like, Nikola Tesla's like his sort of how he used like the electricity of the earth to sort of,
yeah,
basically the opposite of where electricity is done now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa. And it's honestly, like, the whole movie is about, like, magic as a whole whilst using filmmaking as magic.
Yeah.
I just thought, that is just brilliant. The way you are telling, the way you are showing me magic on the screen as sort of the placeholder, what we're seeing, you're actually seeing like magicians do magic. The way you're actually showing me is the way, like, camera trickery, filmmaking, mm-hmm, magic. And it's just so smart. The performances, you've got Christian Bale, Hugh Jackman, Scarlett Johansson, Michael Caine. Come on, man. Fucking, yeah. Andy Serkis. You've got who plays Tesla?
David Bowie.
Fuck me, man. Come on. Like, it's just so great. And I just love the whole dynamic between Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale. Like, when you're watching with someone for the first time and they're like, they don't, like, even they don't understand. It's like, you know, you don't forget, like, what knot you tie. I was like, that's because you actually tied the knot. Isn't actually speaking to Hugh Jackman's character because you couldn't face him. Like, it's like when you actually, like, when you watch it again, it's like, the magic is gone and it's like the usual suspects, but like, we watch it again straight after you've watched it the first time and you're like, holy shit. Fucking Bowen has sent Pharaoh to go talk to Hugh Jackman because Bowen can't face Hugh Jackman's character at the time. And that's why I was like, okay. I asked myself that question. Like, that was his response. It's like, fuck. And it's like, it's that age old question. Like, every movie has it somehow, which is like, how far would you go? I know it's a cliche now, yeah. Like for like, like trailers, how far would you go? But like, you know, when this movie came out in like the mid 2000s, like, it asked that question and it answered that question. And I just think The Dark Knight, for me, yeah, greatest comic of all time, no doubt. Best, you know, fucking best comic book performances of all time, no doubt. Is it my favourite Nolan? No. No. Because I think Nolan was beholden to make three Batman movies. Movies like it's these other movies. What comes in between Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, and The Dark Knight Rises? Original Nolan. He had this deal with Warner Bros. One for you, one for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave them these comic movies. I don't think even he knew how well The Dark Knight was gonna do. But in terms of like the movie he actually put like 100% of himself into, Inception, The Prestige. Memento comes before Batman Begins, but you know, you get the my drift.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he cheated Warner Bros. He did this whole, oh yeah, I'll give you Batman as long as in between you let me do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in that way, like, you know, I think, you know, he definitely he played you, man. He played you. Why do you have it the other way around? What is it about one of those movies that does it for you over the other one? If they're both 10 out of 10s,
so,
I think.
So, The Prestige, for me, I remember the first time I watched it with you.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. I was blown away by the twist at the end. I thought the movie was great. But in the way that you're talking about how what The Prestige means to you...
Mm-hmm.
And the way you connected with the movie is essentially how it is for me in The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember going to watch this movie in theaters, and it was one of the few times where I went to go see it. It was just me, my brother, and my dad.
Yeah.
It was one of the few times that it was just the three of us going to see a movie, because my mom didn't really want to watch it, and my sister didn't really want to see it.
Yeah.
So we went to go see it. And I remember the opening scene, the whole thing, you know, talking about who the Joker is and all of this stuff in the bank heist. And I remember sitting there being mesmerized.
You know who banks this is? You know who you're stealing from? This, like, you and your friends are dead.
Like, this whole sequence had... There was no Batman. There's no Joker. There was no comic book element yet.
Yeah.
It at that point, it was just a heist movie. And I was just so enthralled by it. And then when, you know, the Joker reveals himself, it was a moment of genuine fear that I never felt.
You thought, if anything, Batman was going to stop the heist. The first time you watch The Dark Knight, you think the Batman is going to stop the heist.
You think it's... Exactly. It sets it up like that, but it doesn't. He doesn't. And then it's just this introduction, and you see this guy do all this shit, and you're like, fuck, dude, Batman's in for it.
Yeah. I think...
Like,
you got Hans Zimmer's score going on at the same time. Just, like, those ear-piercing bass hits...
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just like,
it doesn't feel like any other comic book movie, in where, like, here's your hero, here's your villain, these are the villains' reasons for doing this. These are the heroes' reasons for doing this. You're going to fight. Hero's going to win.
No, I'm going to make your hero look like the villain by the time this movie's ended.
This was the story of this villain who knows damn well that this hero is a symbol for something. And this villain knows he is the complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that these two are going to clash, but they're not just going to clash once. He knows that they're meant to clash forever. And he revels in it. He wants that because it complete. He says it. You know, he tells Batman, you complete me, mm-hmm. because it's true. You don't get that from you don't get that anywhere else.
Yeah.
Like, to say that this is, I feel like The Dark Knight is the most accurate representation of the relationship between the Joker and Batman, I feel like is understating it, because it's so fucking true.
Yeah.
It is so fucking true. Nicholson, great Joker. Ledger, the GOAT.
The GOAT, yeah.
The GOAT, man. Like, it's just, overall, the movie works as an action movie, works as a thriller, because there's a lot of suspense in it. There's a lot of suspense that I wasn't expecting from a fucking Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it works. And for me, that's why. Like, I really like The Prestige. I love The Dark Knight.
I do love that scene in The Dark Knight, though. It's, your boss, the most richest, most powerful man in Gotham, is secretly a vigilante at night, going out beating criminals to a pulp. And your plan is to blackmail this man? Good luck. And he's sitting there across the table. I want 10 million.
You know, the plan was the rest of my life.
You know, that plan was to, he was supposed to become the Riddler originally.
I could see that.
It's just I don't think it worked out with the actor. But yeah, man, that is literally all I've got time for. I literally have to dip.
No worries.
So if we're going to end it on sort of what The Dark Knight has done for filmmaking, that, yeah, but the two of the greatest movies of, mm-hmm. like, in recent memory.
Yep,
like,
for sure.
Like, I'm like, you know, I've got a few friends. I want to see what their number one, their number two is. I imagine a few people are going to throw a few spanners in the works. So, you know, you'll get a lot of Dark Knight, a lot of Inceptions. A lot of Inceptions, yeah. A lot of Dark Knights. I think, you know, I'm kind of happy that we both went Dark Knight Prestige 1-2. 1-2, mm-hmm. 2-1 kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. It worked out, I think. Yeah. I this was definitely not as controversial as Tarantino.
Oh, no. I thought this was going to be a lot worse. I definitely had in my mind, no, I'm not being offensive to you, I thought The Prestige was going to be 5 below. I didn't know The Prestige. Had an impact on you. I'm glad it did.
Oh no, yeah, it's stuck with me, man.
Good movie.
All right, everybody, that's gonna wrap us up for Nolan. Let us know what your favorite Christopher Nolan movie is, and we'll catch you on the flippity flip.
On the flippity flip. And look out for the Instagram post of my little Batman cup. I will send the photo to Sebastian.
Little Batman. We'll be on the Instagram very soon. All right, take it easy, everyone.
Come join us on this trip. Now all I do is throwing out the script.
Come on, man. Come join us on the trip. I'm sorry. Now we're throwing out the script. I hope you don't charge a penny. I hear the weekend's calling. Now it's time to start. Free ball.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.